The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Hello, football pundits. This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, and it's a downcast podcast today, unfortunately. Try saying that.
Have you been working on that, Ben, during the week? Downcast podcast?
Yeah, try saying that really quickly or after sort of seven or eight bubbly brown waters, Kingy. But, well, Kingy, I don't know, like at halftime last week, if you weren't at the ground listening to K-Rock, you're obviously at home listening to K-Rock, but at halftime, you were up and about, weren't you?
Waiting by 33.
You would have gone, if the lovely was there, you were up for, I reckon, 20 minutes of halftime, onksy wonksy. You were that excited, weren't you?
Onksy wonksy.
Have you had that, Kenny?
Not enough.
Well, but that's how up and about we were. We'd kept in with three goals. We'd backed up the great game against Frio with a really good half of footy. Our pressure was good. We were moving the ball efficiently. We looked good up forward. We were good around the ground. We were good in the clearances. It was just honksy wonksy sort of material. By the game's end, Kingy, everything was at half mast, wasn't it? Yeah. Absolutely everything.
Dejected.
Oh, it was. You just couldn't have really raised an effort, even if you wanted to. I don't understand. I think I had a quick look, Kingy. I said after the game that I don't think St Kilda had kicked 83 points in about 15 of their games this year in total. It's in four quarters. Yep. They kicked 13 goals, five in one half of footy. It was just unbelievable. And I mean, okay, a team can get a bit of a run on it. I understand that. But when the 14th team is kicking 13 goals on you and a half, some of that has to do with a little bit of work rate and a little bit of sort of concentration and a little bit of willingness to sort of do the right thing to stop the bleeding. And Geelong were just absolutely powerless to do any of that.
It was like they were waiting for somebody else to do it.
Well, we've sort of said along there, they do have their deficiencies, and maybe they were just absolutely brought to light by the team that was 14th on the table. And it was diabolical, Kingy. With the season on the line, with the stakes so high, they'd worked so hard to put themselves in that position that they were gripping to a possible top two finish, and they served that up in the second half of footy. That was absolutely diabolical, Kingy. And I think Troy Selwood probably said it best when he said after the game that premiership teams aren't coughing up 13 goals and a half.
No.
It's simple as that. No. Absolutely simple as
that. It's like they were powerless once St Kilda, and it started, I reckon they only had to last 5 minutes in the third quarter of just hold the game up and maintain that lead, and they'd be fine. But within 5 minutes, they'd kick three goals.
Absolutely, and I mean, at one point, they were five goals down. Mm. The final margin actually flattered them, if you can believe that. It was really head-scratching sort of stuff with so much on the line. I mean, you can have poor games in the middle of the year, and every team has them. I mean, Sydney have had some absolute,
112 point
debacles.
Loss.
Yeah, and I fully get that. It's a brutal competition. Teams are on the up one week and you're not. But just with so much at stake for the Cats, it's hard to fathom that you could serve that up in a half of footy. And, some of the efforts were just poor, unfortunately.
Barring divine intervention, Geelong are going to have to travel
all's not lost just yet. They could finish third, but they are still going to have to travel. I mean, they could even finish second if it's not beyond the realm. It's unlikely, but it's not beyond the realm.
They need to give West Coast the mother of all touch-ups, so you're looking at probably 15 goals.
12 to 15 goals, yep. Which is not beyond the realms.
And the two teams that then could take second off them aren't guarantees to win. I actually think the Bulldogs beat the Giants in Ballarat.
And Geelong only need to make up 3% on the Giants, don't they?
Yeah.
To jump over them.
I'd rather go to Sydney, to be honest, to play the Swans and Port Adelaide.
Well, I'd rather go to... I think Port Adelaide can be seriously flaky.
Hmm. So the Swans.
Yeah, I think I'd rather go to Adelaide. Hmm. No, Houston. He's key for them, Houston.
That does hurt.
They have got a midfield.
They are going to the tribunal.
They don't have much up for...
Yeah. Oh, sorry, they're going to appeal with that.
They're not going to get off 5 weeks. It might come down, but it's not going to come. They won't be playing in 2 weeks' time. No chance. I just don't know about their forward line. Dixon, not sure. They have got a gun midfield, but I don't know. I think both Sydney and Port Adelaide have got flaws. And part of the flaws, I think Sydney are mentally stronger than
Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide are capable of just absolutely shitting the bed, which is never a good thing. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't, Ben.
No,
I don't want to know if you have or not.
I gave it up when I was little, but every now and then, things go awry. It's like the bloke, like the gag we tell on K-Rock, the bloke who, you know what he did?
What did he do?
He took the sleeping pills and the laxatives at the same time. That is dangerous, Kingy. That is really dangerous.
So what are we reading to this week? Do they need to go and do a legitimate number on West Coast?
Yes.
What's the bare minimum they win by? We're knowing now that no Barras, no McGovern, their back line's going to be, I think Andrew Lockyer, Jeff Miles and Andrew McNish are coming out of retirement.
Well, I think Danny Dick Foss might be going back, is he?
He didn't play for West Coast.
He played for Brisbane, didn't he?
He did.
Great name.
He was the third Voss brother.
He was.
There was Michael Brett.
Great name,
and
though,
Danny Dick.
Dick Foss. Do you think it does it grow at a particular time of year or or not? The old
does sound like a
bit of Dick Foss. And I think the Dick Foss has got less and less over time, hasn't it? In terms of there seems to be more sort of what you would classify as manscaping going on, Kingy. There's not as much Foss around the old sort of arrangements as there used to be, is there?
No. Right. Anyway.
Was that Moss?
Moss. Yes. You're an idiot. Right. Anyway. So the Cats have got to play the Eagles.
Get me back on track.
No De Koning for another
week. Yeah, we knew that.
Hawkins. Now, they've put a week next to Hawkins, so that is positive.
It's positive. Not positive for this week, but I just can't see that they could possibly bring him back. I mean...
Well, it depends on
which
where
means they probably will, but
depends on where they think Neil's at.
Well, he's at full forward, and he can play in the ruck.
Yes. Well, but they've got to weigh up what Shannon Neil can bring and what do they think Tom Hawkins can bring.
Tom Hawkins could bring you a whole lot if he was fully fit and match fit, but he won't have played for 3 months. Mm. And he was going poorly before he went out. So I just find it difficult to believe. And that's not easy to say. I mean, I love Tom Hawkins. He's been one of my favourite players at the Cats for, since he started. And I've cheered him all his games. So it's not easy to say that. But I just think if you're looking at it objectively, you couldn't bring Tom Hawkins in, I don't think. I mean, he has no capacity. You could, if things are going a little bit haywire for you, you can put Shannon Neal up the ground. And get involved up the ground. He's quite athletic.
Hawkins, you can't.
No, Hawkins is going to be a bolt on full forward, and with no match practice, he'd be even more bolted. Yeah. So, I just can't see it. Look, that means it'll probably happen now that I've said that. Right. But I just don't think that they could possibly go down that track. He would at least have needed to play one or two games.
Well, the thing is, too, that the Cats will have up their sleeve is they will have the option to play him in the VFL.
Well, he'd probably need to do that and, at least get a game under his belt. And that would maybe... I don't think it would reshape the decision, but it would at least give them something else to think about. But I just could not see him coming in off the back of no game.
So next week, the Cats VFL play. My understanding is that he will be eligible to play in that game if the Cats so wanted to play him.
Well, I think they'd have to. If they're seriously considering him for the final, I think they'd have to give him at least a half or three quarters and just get a run under his belt.
I don't know when 2011 would be the last time he pulled on a Bendigo.
Imagine on the banker's top.
That jumper. Do you reckon they would be saying, we need to go and make one because there's probably not one in the kit.
Possibly.
There wouldn't be a 35 one. There probably isn't there's not a 26 one.
There'd be an XXL there for him, surely.
So I don't know whether they will play him. But my understanding is, I think we spoke about it on air, and I didn't think he could because the Cats AFL weren't playing. But I've had it confirmed that he can because Geelong's AFL will play the following week.
Yeah, well, that should be fair enough. He hasn't played for quite some time. He needs to get a run under his belt. So, both teams are involved in finals.
You give De Koning a run in the VFL for a half as well?
I think you probably wouldn't be the silliest thing in the world if they think that would help him. If he's right to go and they wanted to just get a little bit of touch, a little bit of game touch, I don't think that would be the silliest thing. If he's not right and he's only a last-minute decision, you've got to make a decision whether he plays as well.
Yep. So Cats VFL next week. So got this week off, play Werribee next week when the Cats are off. and then they'll align each other. Well, potentially the following week. It depends. If the Geelong VFL team were to beat Werribee in the first final, they'd actually then have a week off and go into a prelim. So there is, if Hawkins wasn't right for next week, then they've got a conundrum if Geelong's VFL were to win in terms of, well, they wouldn't be able to get any match practice anywhere. They have backed before, though, training to be able to match. They sometimes they've left blokes out of the VFL and said, well, we actually think they benefit more from training than they do from playing in a VFL game. And that would probably be the reason, if they don't play him in the VFL, Hawkins, that would be the reason they would give, I would suspect.
Well, there's plenty of permutations and computations, King. Yeah.
What'd you make of the two contract extensions? Jack Henry, 5 years, was an interesting one.
25-year-old?
Yep. Not going anywhere at all in his career because he's a Geelong boy and he's playing with his brother. Like, it's not like he would have been, you know, Tasmanian targeted in 3 years' time. I thought 5 was interesting. They don't give out 5-year contracts very often, the Cats. Stengel obviously got one earlier this year. I'm not against it, but I was a bit surprised by the length of it.
Yeah, I would have thought that that's fair. The one thing you know with Jack Henry, the 5-year deal, he's 25, so it takes him till he's 30. He's in the wheelhouse of his best footy. His best footy potentially is in front of him. He's a good citizen. He's reliable. He's got good character, all the things you want in a player. If the deal, I mean, we don't know the monetary value of the deal, but if the deal is reasonable, I'm not against that, taking you up to 30. I think once you start taking 5-year deals over 30,
yep.
I think you...
Yeah, if you're giving them at 27, 28.
Yeah, and you're looking to 32, 33, I think that's when you start thinking maybe not. But given he's, you know, at 29, 30, he's probably... Yeah, 28, 29, 30 is the wheelhouse of his absolute best footy. So I'm not against that. It is a bit of a surprise. It seems to be a shift with the Cats in terms of their contract lengths. Mm-hmm. They were really reticent to give any player that sort of deal.
Way outside of Dangerfield.
Yeah, outside of an absolute superstar. But now they're offered one to
I reckon, was Blitzarves a 5-year deal?
Possibly.
But he's coming off of 4. That was long. And Duncan had a lengthy...
Well, yeah, he's also nearly a 300-game player.
Yep. So is Blitzarves.
Yeah, well, that's unbelievable, isn't it, really? But, yeah, it seems like there's a shift within the football department, and maybe that's what they've got to do now to keep the Wolves at bay with some of these players in terms of, I bet my, you know, London do a brick, that, as my dad used to say, that Stengel needed an extra year or two to keep him at the Cats.
Yep.
Had they just offered the same length of deal as what other clubs are offering, he'd be at the other club next year. Yep. But they offered him that extra few years, which the other clubs wouldn't.
Do you reckon they've offered him 2 more than...
I reckon at least... Yeah, I would say 2.
Yep.
Yeah, I reckon the other clubs are offering him 3. Geelong have offered 5, which, you know, time will tell whether that's a good deal or not. But I think Jack Henry, everything is there for him to be a key player for the Cats for the next 5 years. So I'm not against it. But it's probably just the climate we're in. You know, other clubs are pulling players all over the place. Maybe there was an offer there from another club that we don't know about that was, you know, healthy and at least made him. I mean, at the end of the day, King, I know we just say, oh, Jack Henry's from Geelong and he's going to stay at Geelong. Well, good luck, because you know who's in his ear other than maybe his mum and dad and his girlfriend or whoever?
His manager.
His manager.
Yep.
What does his manager want?
As big a cut as he possibly can get.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's managed by Anthony McConville, I think.
He is.
Yeah. So, and anyway, he's known to...
Yeah, drive a hard bargain.
Yeah.
Yep.
He likes his cashish. Chopper. Chopper.
No, cash chopper.
Chopper. Neville.
You've got... How long till get to from here 10, to that door?
10. What did he say? What did he say? That was very
funny. It's one of the great scenes in Australian cinema.
Eric Banner was very good at
it. Yeah, he was.
And yep. He just shoots him and then he goes, well, Neville, what do you think? I'm just going to whiz you off to hospital. Whiz you off.
Zach Guthrie becomes one of the rare players to actually sign 2 contract extensions in the 1 year.
Yeah, why not?
Yep.
He's. It's good to have those two. They're pillars of our defence for the next, 5 years, Kingy. Those two alongside De Koning. When does De Koning out of contract?
Next year, I believe.
Yeah, they want to be working on that. He's key. And you've got, obviously, Jack Henry. Yeah, Zach Guthrie. They're going to have to fashion something else down back as well. I mean, you've got Connor O'Sullivan, who they drafted high last year as a key defender. But, I mean, Tom Stewart, as good as he is, he's not going to play forever. He's 31. I'm not suggesting he's close to, you know, yeah, retirement, but he's not going to play for the next 8 years. So He's probably, how many years do you reckon Stewart would have? Three?
Yep.
34?
Yep.
33, 34?
Yep.
Probably sees him out. So
you got I reckon he might go to 35 because he started later. I think we could see him playing until 2028.
34?
Yep.
Yeah, well, and if he has no injuries, yes. As soon as you get a bad injury at that age, it can pull you up real quick.
Yeah.
Pull you up sort of 72 kilo, high weight style.
Over the sticks.
Yeah. Yes. The other one, Kingy, so Max
Stewart's
Holmes.
Stewart's contracted till the end of 27.
Yeah, okay. Well, that you just be suck it and see at the end of that.
Yeah, which will take him to, 34. I think he'll get another year. I can see him playing another year, and which would give him, 12 years in the system. That's a good return.
We're starting when he did.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
And you've got, is Max Holmes going to be a midfielder or is he going to be a rebounding defender? I hope they make him into a midfielder.
I hope he's a midfielder.
So do I.
Just the burst out of the middle gives Geelong. That is his point of difference for the Cats that nobody else has other than Dangerfield, which is waning by the week.
Yeah, and they'll get Bailey Smith.
Yep.
So he's the other one that can do that as well. Yeah. But I really
is Smith going to play on a wing though?
Oh, I think he'll play as a wing midfielder, yeah. I mean, they just need some burst around the ball, which is what Smith has, alongside Holmes. I think that could be, a good 1-2 punch of some bit of buzz around the ball. And I'd be very surprised if Geelong don't draft a midfielder with their first pick. And I hope it's somebody who has a bit of zip about their game. I know it's easier said than done to find that player, but I hope they don't just draft a real accumulator. Because I think they've got those. I think you've got Tanner Bruin and Jai Clark as your accumulators. Yep. You need something that's a bit different to that. So be interesting to see what they do. But you have to think, as it stands right now, the Cats will be going midfield with their first pick in the draft.
Zach Tui will retire at the end of the year.
Yep, saw that.
Given good service.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. It's been a great get for the Cats. And he's been really good to play in a premiership. He's great, given great service. He's been... a good contributor in the community. He's good to deal with. It's been a great story. And, I've been off him this year, but that's fine. He's probably gone on 1 year too many. But that's okay. That's probably part of the club's fault, not all his fault.
Can the Cats carry Duncan and Tui?
No, we've talked about this last week. They can't. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So is Tui playing this week?
Well, he's due to come back. Did he play last week? I'm trying to think. No, he was managed.
He wasn't managed. He was dropped. Because
he's been managed. Or if he's been dropped, he'd be playing in the VFL.
No, well, just they don't want to say that. He's just been managed. This is my point. So I've said this 100 times. Why drop manager bloke who's going poorly? So he's been dropped. He's not good. They're not thinking he's desperately in need in their plans. And then he doesn't play. And then you bring him back and expect a different result. I can't understand that for the life of me. Mm. So I don't. I mean, this week it'll make no difference. He'll probably come in and he'd play okay because it could possibly be a picnic with what West Coast are bringing over and what the mindset they're bringing over with no Barras and no
McGovern.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be like, well, we're going to get pantsed here. So their season's probably finishes about halfway through the first quarter. So Tui will probably play okay. That's part of the problem because there's the illusion.
Well, he will play this week because this will be his last chance to play at GMHBA Stadium.
Well, then he goes out for the final.
So you keep Duncan?
Well, I think you have to keep one of them. I've said this before.
I think
Duncan can offer you a little bit more.
Yeah, so I reckon I'm the other way.
Well, Duncan's more versatile than Tui.
See, I reckon Tui's more versatile. You can send Tui to a wing. You can send Tui forward.
Well, you could send Duncan to a wing. You could send Duncan to half back.
He can't get out of his own way at the moment.
No, well, neither can Tui. They're both going as poorly as each other.
Does Gary Rowan go out of the side? Or does Ollie Henry need a circuit breaker?
Geez, I don't know, King. I've said this before. We play too many half forwards. We've got way too many half forwards playing. They're not all going to play well. And what frustrated me a little bit on Saturday night was that I was happy that Mitch Nevitt was getting a game, but they had him playing at half back because they've already got too many players at half forward and on the wing. So they had to put him at half back. I guarantee you, I haven't watched the VFL a lot this year, but he would have played a total of about 8 minutes at half back in the VFL.
Yeah, he's played on a winger in the midfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so they bring him in at the next level and then put him in a position where he hasn't played all season. Talk about setting him up to fail. I mean, he played quite poorly. He was quiet. He took that mark, kicked the goal. But he played a lot of that game at half back because they've already got too many half forwards. I'd be dropping Gary Rowan. Gary Rowan's chase down tackle. What he does is a bit of a highlights reel, but it's 3.5 hours in between the highlights. It's not enough in between. There's not enough substance. Okay, Ollie Henry hasn't had a great season.
So can I just give
but
you
some... still kicked, what, nearly close to 30 goals?
Yeah, but he had 20 goals, 7 after 10 rounds. And in the 10 games he's played since, he's kicked 7 goals, 4.
And what's Rowan kicked?
Rowan has kicked. Well, you probably can't compare because they've had injury. Rowan's had
well, how
injuries.
Many kicks for the year from how many games?
Rowan from, let me just have a quick look, 2024, he has kicked 9 goals, 1 from 12 games.
So he's going at about what Ollie Henry has been going at over the last 10.
Basically, he came in round 9, played 2 games, and then from round 11 onwards, between them, they've only kicked the 14 goals.
There's just not room for both of them. That's my point. And I think Ollie Henry's the future of the club. Gary Rowan is not. Ollie Henry has an ability to come up the ground and get the ball a bit more than Rowan. Rowan just doesn't touch the ball enough. Mm. I mean, that's he's always been like that. He actually just doesn't physically get involved enough. How many tackles did he have on Saturday night?
Rowan had the 0 tackles. Yeah.
You got to be doing better than that if you're not getting the ball. How many possessions do you have? 2 or 4?
He had the 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's decisions to make there. The balance of the team, I've said this before, is crucial, and Geelong don't have the balance right, unfortunately. They don't have enough in the midfield. They're trying to pinch hit with these half forwards. We've got too many half forwards who are getting in their own way. None of the half forwards they have, other than Manor, are capable of playing in the midfield. Manor could probably go into the midfield and do a bit of that. He's built like that, he plays like that. Myers can't, Close can't, Stengel can't. Can you explain to me how Grian Myers on 3 occasions was caught one-on-one in inside defensive 50?
Yep, that's just...
That is just ridiculous. I don't know what role he was supposed to be playing at that point, but I'd love to know because that is not his go. Absolutely not. And it was just head-scratching that you've got a playmaking half-forward, a link player, who's being then suddenly asked to defend one-on-one in the back half. Now, I don't know whether he was just getting back to try and help, and because he's got such a big work rate, he was the closest bloke to the ball, to the player that was going to get the ball. But let's not have Grian Myers in defence defending. They also noticed that they had him in the midfield. It's just not his go to be in the centre bounces. Absolutely not. He's not big enough. He gets buffeted off the ball, but they had him going into the midfield.
Yep.
It infuriates me. Playing blokes out of position... So leave Gary Rowan out. He gets in the way.
Yep.
And I'd be leaving Henry in.
Yep.
I think he's the future up forward for you. He's more likely to touch the ball a bit more. He's more likely to kick you multiple goals.
And take a mark.
Rowan can take a mark.
He flies for a lot. He doesn't take
No, he doesn't, but he can take a
Although
mark.
Although Ollie Henry at the moment, I'm not sure if it's something the Cats have to work on. The technique of jumping off 2 feet doesn't seem to work for Ollie Henry. He jumps off 2 feet and seems to not be able to clunk in.
Yeah, no, he does. He's got to work on that. But I think he's just having a little bit of a slump. But, I mean, how many goals did Ollie Henry would have kicked? Was it 40 goals last year?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and that's really good for a third year.
Well, he sort of picked up a little bit of the Stengel slack last year.
Was he third year last year or fourth year last year?
Henry?
This is fifth or fourth?
That's his fourth year.
Yeah, so last year as a third-year player, he's kicking 40 goals as a mid-sized forward. Yep. That is good darts.
Yep.
Really good darts. And this year, okay, let's say he snaffles a couple on the weekend, he's going to get 30.
Yep.
Which is, yeah, it's a step down from what he did last year. And has he had his struggles this year? Yes. Has he played some good footy this year? Yes. He's found it difficult. Is he carrying an injury? We don't know, possibly.
Yep.
He seemed very ginger against Fremantle late in the game.
Well, I did ask about him at last week's media conference with Chris Scott about Ollie Henry's body, and they said, no, he's fine.
Right, well, if that's the case...
Well, they touched on the fact he was a bit sore in the Freo game, but he might be one that will they manage him this week and give him a couple of weeks?
Well, I wouldn't think that is the worst thing in the world for him.
You've got to play Rowan.
Well, yeah, that's right. If he's out, Rowan plays. If he's sore and needs that time, yeah, I wouldn't be against that. But I don't know. I just I get I get really frustrated with guys being played out of position. It really, you just set them up to fail, and you set the team up to fail by doing that. But we seem to have this penchant for doing it all the time.
Ponchon.
Yeah, I've got that too, King. Yeah. Isn't that something you wear when it's wet?
Would you like some questions?
Yeah, I love questions.
Off the KFC X, Arngold, parking the bizarre second half performance on Saturday. I'm curious as to what the future looks like with as many as five retirements at season end and only four picks in the draft. Also, any chance we could get the full coverage on the website for those of us who want to listen. Carrollfootball.live for full coverage. We don't put the whole game. We can't put the whole game on the website. And the Cats, well, Bailey Smith will be one of the ins. It won't be necessarily draft picks, but there will be probably a pick going out for him
pick
as well.
The Cats' top pick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cats are not looking at anything probably inside pick 30.
No, well, that's the rumour that the Cats, all their homework is on players who are sort of 25 plus in the draft, yep. Not anybody. Well, they'd be doing homework on others, but anybody who's probably a surefire top six or seven pick.
Yeah, they're not coming.
Geelong are not really doing a whole lot of due diligence on those because they're not going to have that pick.
Grant Bench gutted on Saturday night with the second half and realising that was very close to our best team. I love my boys, but they were so easy to score against. A big worry for what is ahead.
Yeah, well, that and that we mentioned that after the game, and we had Jack Bowes on, and I did ask after the game interviews. Tend to be, a bit like holding hands with the lovely in the park, and it's just a complete and utter waste of time. But I asked him about the Cats being too easy to score against at times this year. We saw it against Sydney. We saw it against Carlton. We saw it in the first half against Port Adelaide down here. We saw it on the weekend against St Kilda. They haven't had a great ability to stop the momentum of teams at times. And good teams do that. That's what they do. They actually hold the game up and when the flow of the game is against them. Now, Geelong have done that pretty well. I thought they did that well against Fremantle. In the second and third quarters, with the flow of the game against, they were actually able to hold up and limit the scoring. And then when it was their turn, they actually made the most of their chances and went on to win the game. But it is a worry that they do get scored against easily. And that, to me, that is, as we've spoken about all year, that is predominantly a midfield issue. The ball's just whizzing from one end to the other too quickly. Your defenders have no chance and your forwards have no chance because it's not getting down there. We saw what happened in the first half against the Saints. Cats midfield were good. Pressure was good. Geelong's forwards had chances. They kicked nine goals. Second half, when they got obliterated in the midfield, the forward line was dysfunctional, couldn't get near it, and the back line was just, well, it wouldn't have mattered who you had down there. They weren't going to stop that.
Dave Twist, sorry, but some Geelong supporters need to calm down and stop complaining after every loss. The second half wasn't ideal, but we're still on track to finish in the top four, something most realistic supporters would have considered an overachievement at the start.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good call. Like, I wouldn't have had the Cats pegged as a top four. I wouldn't have certainly had the Cats pegged in the top two conversation with two rounds to go. It was just disappointing on the weekend that they, as I mentioned, they'd done so much and worked so hard to put themselves in that position and then come out and played well in the first half, just to see it all evaporate so quickly was just so sort of deflating. It was like, my God, we can't be, are we a finals team? We are being absolutely hammered here, hammered. So that's what's frustrating about it. But I do agree, if you look at it in totality, we've actually had a really good season. I think the Cats have actually overachieved to be where they are.
Mitch Hawley, considering how the Cats finished last season, how much of a success would you consider being top four this season?
Yeah.
Do you think it's as good as achievement as Hightower learning how to drive in Police Academy?
Yes. Oh, and he drove from the back Hightower too, which was even
little
he actually took the front seat out and got in the back and old Hightower.
What did Hightower do for an occupation?
He wasn't in movies, was he?
No. No, as in what his job was in Police Academy.
What his job was?
Yeah.
No.
He was a florist.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah, remember in one of the final scenes when there was the angry mob and he's in his little flower stand and he comes rolling out and got the apron on and everything, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hightower
was a florist.
I thought he was in movies? He wasn't in Blue Moves.
No.
What?
Rexy. Thought Nevitt playing at halfback was interesting given he hasn't played that position at VFL
absolutely
level.
Absolutely.
Supporters
shit.
Are told Hardy not picked because a spot hasn't opened in his position yet. Yet Nevitt is brought in and thrown into an unfamiliar spot.
Yep.
Same could be rubbish. Said with Mullen.
Yep.
Nuffy from Cario. Nuff is back and that is that. After 2 weeks of low ratings, Nuff thought he'd return to arousal-y levels. Speaking of arousal, Ollie Henry is doing the opposite of that right at the moment. Rather play him in the twos instead of being gifted games. Well, he's not being gifted games.
Well,
he's a good player.
Nuff thinks he is. he's having a bit of a slump. Like, I mean, yeah, just relax. Just take a number and wait in the deli and get your strays when your number's called. Don't jump up and down and try and grab a Frankfurt when you shouldn't be. Like, he's fourth-year player. He's done well. He's played about 60 games, actually. He's played a lot of games for his age. He's having a bit of a struggle. So that's fine. Work your way through the struggle. Ollie Henry is too good to be playing in the twos. Okay? As long as my ass, the reasonably hairy arrangement, points towards terra firma, he is too good to be playing in the twos. He is having a struggle. Work your way through it at senior level because he is the future of one of the futures of Geelong's forward line. I mean, do we say that, you know, Patrick Dangerwood's had his struggles this year? Don't worry about that.
Marshall, saw the game from ground level. We're cooked, not getting enough from the senior players to make up for the gaps. We take a nap, 200-bit quarters every game, and when we win or lose, depending on what happens in that time, next year will be far worse. Brace yourselves.
Yeah, I don't know. We keep saying that, but it hasn't happened yet. I don't know. I wouldn't worry about next year so much just yet. It's hard to say. I've said this. Cats are overachieving to be where they are. And they're just going to have to reshape the midfield. They need a ruckman. That doesn't help. I mean, people say, okay, over East Stanley, people say, oh, geez, he played well, he did this and that. Yeah, he wasn't horrible. His opponent had it 28 times as a midfielder. Took 7 marks, 3 contested, kicked a goal, was absolutely dominant. But we're going, oh, Rhys Stanley was okay because we benchmark him off some of the rubbish that he plays. So I've got a funny story about Rhys Stanley, King.
Yes, we'll save it for another time, Benny.
Why?
Well, I'll judge whether it's funny or not.
Well, it's not. It's nothing lurid.
Untoward.
No, it's nothing sort of where you're going to have to write the timestamp and then take it out.
Tell your story then, Benny.
So I heard a little rumour that Rhys Stanley was having some landscaping done at his house. Okay. Have you heard this?
No.
So he'd ordered some trees. Okay. So hopefully we get Rhys Stanley on for this.
Sounds like a joke. You're launching into a joke.
No, it's not a joke. Do you think it's like a Shane Bourne? Nice one. Thank you, Moz. Boom, boom. There was this guy. He always used to start every gag with it. There was this guy. What's I say? Oh, Rhys Stanley, yeah.
He got some plants.
Yeah, so he's doing. He must live on a property, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. He's on land.
Yeah, he's on land. Well, we're all on land. Where do you live on? You live on the air, dude. Where are you living?
Where are you living?
I'm on land.
No, he's on.
Are you a land mammal?
He's on bigger property.
Oh, I knew he was on property. Anyway, he had some landscaping done, and he'd ordered these trees, okay? And the trees, they were, I don't know what sort of trees they were. Anyway, they were put onto the back of this arrangement, some sort of ute or lorry or whatever you want to call it. And they were all packed in quite tightly, okay? So they pulled up to Reese's house, and Reese, not being the sort of, you know, the green thumb, the garden gnome type arrangement, he released the shackles of the trees that were all packed in tight, and lo and behold, almost killed by the trees launching. One of the trees, the one that was closest to him, came off whatever it was, and whiplash. He was in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's okay now.
Well, maybe that's one of the reasons why his form's a bit up and down. Right. Did you know that you know, The Late Show. Yeah. I don't know, Mr. Tedesco will be watching this and a few others. Andrew Daly will be listening. And you know, one of the greatest pieces of advice to provide on The Late Show was if you are in an accident, doesn't matter how small the accident, even if someone just pokes your car at the supermarket, jump up out of the car and in your loudest possible voice, just yell out, whiplash, whiplash, because you will get a seriously good compensation.
Premiers, hope they find the 15 Cats players that went missing at halftime on Saturday night. Thoughts and prayers for their families.
There was a lot of them.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
King and Cass.
I hope people have watched that little snippet of Mr. Tedesco.
How can you be up at halftime and think the game is won? Where is the accountability? King, any chance terrible. We can finish second? Well, there is a chance.
Yep.
Got to belt the Eagles and have both Port Adelaide and GWS lose.
Yeah, so GWS losing to the Bulldogs at Ballarat, which is, and the Bulldogs are actually hot favourites in that game, which I'm I'm surprised about, but anyway, they are. And Fremantle beating Port Adelaide reasonably well over there in the West. The only thing that might hinder the catch is that by the time Frio and Port Adelaide sort of gets underway, I think that they will know what they need to do.
Correct.
Fremantle might actually be out.
Yes.
So they'd be playing for absolutely nothing.
Correct.
So I don't know whether, does that mean you play with Gay Abandon and you're even better, or do you actually just think, bugger this, I can't really be fagged and sort of fall in a hole? But that's the only downside. So just be wary that Frio will know what they need to do before that game, and it could be that they know they're out.
Why is our club linked to Clayton Oliver? Don't need him rather than Smith from the Dogs.
100%.
I think Smith's come. Well, Smith is coming, and Clayton, I don't think Clayton Oliver's coming.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Geelong don't need a Clayton Oliver type. He comes with a, you know, carry-on baggage that's over 7 kilos.
Good
so he needs to go in there.
Good to see the resignings. Let's beat West Coast off the big footy. As St Kilda got a run on Saturday night, one of the centre bouncers set up saw Myers in the centre, Atkins and Bowes in defence, with Buse in the tracksuit in the players' race. Make our selections and make up matchups make sense. Stacking the team with forwards ain't it.
Yep.
Sincere thank you, Carrick Footy, for the company and laughs throughout season 2024. We are a very lucky supporter group. Well, thank you for that. That's very kind.
Yes, that is very kind. No, I couldn't. I agree with all of that. We just don't have the right balance in the team, and I'm not suggesting that the right balance would suddenly make the Cats a premiership, you know, threat or chance. I just don't think that we're giving ourselves every chance by playing, you know, we've mentioned it before, too many forwards.
Yep. Howler 41, a tale of two halves, bit like when I last went to the local and over refreshed. First half was great, but woke up needing to clean the sheets. Positive was younger, less experienced types leading the charge in the first half. Humphreys, Dempsey and Manor, if not for College, Asney, Henry and Guthrie, we would have lost by much more. Was it some tired bodies from a 24-degree day last week versus Frio and a team with nothing to lose pushing forward of the ball constantly? Ignorance is bliss. Wilkie spanked Ollie Henry that badly he won't be sitting for a week. You'd hope he had a niggle, otherwise being so uncompetitive is a concern. I'd like to see Bruin and Clark return. Bruin should be right to go. Hope never gets another go, but VFL finals and eligibility may rule this out. If you're worrying about VFL eligibility for blokes, get out of the business, because you're here to win AFL flags. AFL clubs don't care about
VFL flags. No.
Clark never shirks a contest. $2 stake, toughness. AFL finals will benefit him. First live game for myself since the Suns debacle last year. Oh. Keen as mustard.
Yeah, well, it's... We're looking forward to it as well. Is that the Suns debacle last year or this year? We've had a few Suns debacles. This year was a debacle. We scored 100 points and lost by 10.
Did we lose on the Gold Coast last year? Yes, we did. Yeah, the Jack Lekosius.
Oh, when he went banana, he looked like Wayne Carey. Yep. Hasn't looked like that since.
And now he can't get a game.
Oh, God. I reckon he'll be gone from it. I don't think he's a Damien Hardwick sort of player, Lekosius.
Adelaide?
Well, I don't know. He seems good when everything's going his way, but he's just not the most physical player, unfortunately, and he gets found out too much when you're not physical.
Yep. Daz Broncos, great call amongst the mire of dread that was the second half last week. Figured Kingy wanted to switch over to watching ice hockey and Benny was neck deep in the form guide for the Bull or anywhere they were lining up to jump. Don't think it can be written off as a bad half. Really showed some weaknesses that teams will no doubt continue to want to exploit. But given most of us had us finishing 6th to 8th at best, a top 4 spot and double chance is kind of remarkable, especially with the VFL team also getting the double chance. The club is really like BP, the quiet achiever. Once again, as is the club and Chris Scott's mantra, we just want to be in a position to compete each year. Box ticked here as we dive without diving to the bottom of the ladder and rebuilding to do it. 18 of 21 finals appearances, just an unbelievable run of consistency.
Yeah, correct. That's written and authorised by Daz, which is, it's all correct.
4 wins gets us a flag. Can we win the next 4 games?
No.
How many wins from here are realistic? I think 2 wins and bowing out in a prelim.
Oh, I think that would be a fantastic season if that was to happen.
If you're playing for a grand final spot, it's not a bad result.
That would be way over my expectations, and I think, you know, maybe the club wouldn't say it publicly, but even probably they would be happy with that. Yeah. I know if they didn't win it, they'd be disappointed, but they would be happy with that.
P.S. Awesome news on Cats AFLW broadcasting on K-Rock. So from next Saturday night, 6:30, Rocky Cranston and myself doing the 5GM HBA Stadium home games. They'll be on K-Rock Football.
Do you want me to do any special comments, King?
No, Benny, we'll keep you away from AFLW.
Do you think we'll get into trouble?
I probably. KRockFootball.live. So
we
not
can
on
only
Carrick,
hope.
So not on Carrick 955, KRockFootball.live. And for those listening who have questioned about the ability to pause KRockFootball.live, we've had a little breakthrough with some of our tech gurus, and we hope by the first final there will be an ability to play and pause the K-Rock call, so you can sync it up.
Oh, yep. The old syncing.
Yeah, so, which is good.
The old syncing.
And he also says, I have Ollie Henry out of contract. No one seems to be making any noise about it. My understanding is he signed a 3-year deal when he joined the Cats. There are some websites that say he's out of contract this year. My understanding, he's not.
Well, given that he left Collingwood to come play with his brother, who's just signed for 5 years, yeah. I'd be... You know, I'd be Kingy. I'd be flabbergasted if he went anywhere.
Brown Hill Cat, long time, first time. Benny, I'm just about to jump on a plane to the US, and I'm booked to watch the Chiefs, Ravens, and Bears, Titans.
Is it in the first week?
Yep. Your NFL updates helped me get interested in the sport.
Oh wow!
Unfortunately, I won't get the chance to see Eminem.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
Joe, play this time around. Hopefully, he stays fit for the year.
Oh, Eminem.
Yeah.
Who's Eminem?
Well, he's got Joe, so he's at Burrow.
Joe, he's not. I don't know who Eminem is.
Yeah. Back in Australia, grand final week, possibly a little bit too optimistic to think the boys will be playing, but you never know. Cheers for an enjoyable weekly pod.
Oh, that's good. It'd be exciting if you haven't been to an NFL game. They're good. Well, yeah, I mean, you have to be into the sport. People seem to either loathe it or love it. I'm in the love it category, but there are plenty who loathe it. See, I don't really follow EPL at all. It doesn't really float my boat, yet some people love it. So that's whatever blows your hair back. Yeah, I know Daz is all over the. He loves his Broncos, but I'm a massive. I follow the Bengals like Daz follows the Cats.
Yeah,
but I just don't. Yeah, I've been there twice to two games over there. And Joe Burrow, I'm telling you, Kingy, if anybody's got a spare pineapple in their phone account, the more you bet, bet responsibly.
Gamble responsibly, Benny.
But Joe Burrow to win the MVP this year at $10. At $10, Kingy, they are giving away cashish. Right, okay. Absolutely.
No cash
he will win the MVP this year.
12 o'clock Saturday, Benny. So yep. Early start for the Cats, 1:45. Bounce.
At 10 past 1, Kingy, if you don't hear me on the air, I will not be on the air from 10 past 1 till 13 past 1. Because the great dashing Duchess is $1.90 favourite in the first at Moonee Valley,
Benny,
on Saturday.
Benny, you're on the big screen at 10 past 1.
Oh, well, we're going to have to do something there. Because
it's only you and me. Domsey's not being on the big screen this week, so.
Well.
Yeah.
Don't know what's going to happen there.
I don't know.
$1.90. I've never had an even money favourite in a Saturday race
until
this Saturday.
Oh, good luck. James Kelly's going to join us pre-game. And Matty Knights is going to join us on what is his last day as an assistant
coach.
Does
his son play at St. Joey's?
He does.
In the ones?
Zach, yep. Yeah, he's turned into a very handy player at GFL.
How old was he?
I'm going to say 21 or 22.
Did he go to St. Joey's?
He did.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So, oh, good.
Yes.
Right, we'll be able to ask him about Joey's.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. We'll just turn into the Joey's half hour.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.